to draw her into missions. She had several opportunities to take missions trips, a couple in high school, local door-to-door evangelism in Wellington. They went to Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, to share the gospel with the Mormons. And then her oldest sister and brother-in-law were missionaries in China for several years. And when her first nephew was born, she and her mom and grandmother got to go over and help the in-home nannies and watch the new little nephew while her sister and brother-in-law were serving on the mission field. So she got to spend 3 months in China. So she had that experience. And then as part of her missions program in college, we both went to Appalachian Bible College, a little bit more of that in a second. She was part of the TESOL program, teaching English to speakers of other languages. And she said that she wanted to use that as a means in case God called her to a closed country. Teaching English is a really good way to get into closed countries. And so she, again, wanted to grow her, what I call a toolkit of the passions and desires God had given her so that she would be open and ready for wherever God ended up calling her into missions. So she was in a missions major, and part of the requirement for that was a 5.5-week internship between her junior and senior year, and the Lord led her to take an internship in Zambia, Africa, where the main language is English, so that was helpful for her. But she got to serve at an orphanage for 5.5 weeks, teaching orphan kids at a Christian missionary orphanage English while also teaching them about God. And that really helped her fall in love with the idea of serving in Africa. She told me she cried getting on the plane coming back to the States because she just didn't want to leave. So to me, when we were dating at the time, that was a huge yes, because I had been praying that, Lord, even if we don't end up as missionaries in Africa, Africa is a huge part of who I am. So she's going to have to fall in love with that to an extent if you really want us together. So that was a big milestone in the Lord drawing us together, but it also played a big role in where he led us as a couple. So that kind of catches you up on where we were this morning. So we want to pick back up at where we went to college. We both attended Appalachian Bible College in Beckley, West Virginia. Yes, it's the same name as my last name. And interesting fact, we didn't know it until I actually went to college there, but my dad found out from a relative that someone in our family had done some research, and we are actually direct descendants of Alfred Beckley, who founded the town back during the Civil War era. And so it was kind of cool. I accidentally ended up in the town where my ancestors were when I went to college. So we went to Appalachian Bible College in Beckley, West Virginia. I was there for a year before Joanna came in as a freshman. So it was my sophomore year, her freshman year, that we met. That's a whole nother story of how we met, how we started dating, kind of crazy. Some of you already heard it. By the end of that first semester, we were dating with the intent to look towards marriage. And so the Lord began drawing us together at that point. I graduated in 2019 with a Bachelor of Arts in Bible and Theology and a Bachelor of Arts in Music. Joanna graduated a year later in 2020. Yes, that was COVID year. She did not get to walk. They mailed her her gown and cap and diploma and everything else in a box, said, take pictures at home. Nice knowing you. not quite that blunt, but oops. So yes, she did not get to walk. She got all her stuff at home, and I visited her when she got her box so we could take pictures together. But she did last half of second semester at home. So she graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Bible and Theology and a Bachelor of Arts in TESOL, Teaching English to Speakers of Other Languages. We were married that summer in her parents' backyard in Wellington. Because it was COVID, we had had a guest list of about 200 set up and then had to email them and say, sorry, because of COVID, we're shrinking it to just 40 family members in her parents' backyard. So very memorable and eventful day. And as of this July, we will have been married 6 years now. In those 6 years, we've had the privilege of serving in 3 different churches, including her dad's church right here in Wellington, and at the second church we were at, I worked there as the assistant pastor and music director for nearly 3 years, and I also had the privilege of being ordained by the men at that church, as well as others that I was able to invite to be part of that process. So I'm very grateful to the Lord for the experiences and the ever-growing family of God that he is surrounding us with, who has helped us get to this point. So we're very grateful for what God has done.
So as well, we were at that last church that we had the opportunity in January of 2023 to go over to Benin for 2 weeks. In the picture, Andrew is the one in purple and his, at the time, fiance, now wife. Andrew is Mark's brother, and they were already planning on going, and his parents knew they were going, but the tickets were cheap. They're like, hey, how about you surprise mom and dad and come with us? So we bought tickets and flew over. The look on his parents' faces was priceless. But it was a time to visit family and just see where Mark grew up, but it was a scouting trip for us to see whether Benin would be where God was calling us. We knew God wanted us in Africa somewhere, but Africa is a very big continent. So this was the first stop into seeing, okay, maybe God would lead us here. And in those 2 weeks, we were able to do both sightseeing, but also explore the different ministries there. And God really burdened our hearts for the people there.
So it is this burden for Benin that we wish to share with you this evening. First and foremost, we desire to follow the Great Commission by introducing unreached people to Jesus and teaching them to follow him. We also desire to answer God's call and use the skills that he has given us to go as laborers into his fields that are white for harvest. But our hearts also echo this mission statement of the Faith Baptist missionary team in Benin that we will be joining. We desire to glorify God by developing fully devoted followers of Christ among the peoples of Benin. We will partner with local churches in establishing indigenous self-sustaining ministries. That means ministries that are run by the national Christians and believers. A missionary's ultimate goal is to train the national believers to start sending out missionaries of their own. We serve cross-culturally with the goal of developing ministries that future generations of believers can emulate. This is our burden for Benin, to glorify God by sharing the gospel with those who have never heard the name of Jesus and this thing's acting up on me again. There we go. Who have never heard the name of Jesus and disciple them to become Christ followers who then share him with their own people.
Recognize the names of Togo and Nigeria, but Benin somehow slips through the cracks. It's a tiny, skinny country between the two. So the country of Benin is actually about the size of Ohio. So if you stretch Ohio out, that would be the same landmass. But Ohio has about 11 million people in it. Benin has 13. So there's a lot more people and a lot denser population in the country. So our team is located in the center of the country, so that ministry can be expanded both up and north and south of the country. The north is a little unsafe, so we don't travel up there very much, but it makes it more possible for laborers to travel down to us.
I lost track of where I'm at.
So along with it being highly populated, it's among the fourth largest, fastest growing population in the world. Part of that's due to life expectancy going up, which is great because healthcare and other things have improved. Some of it is birth rate. With the different religions and stuff, there's a high birth rate going on there as well. So it makes it very, very densely populated.
So, again, these are just some statistics on the population of Benin that starts to show you the need for the gospel there, just the very high dense population. There's also over 40 different ethnic groups. Again, think about somewhere the size of Ohio. 40 different ethnic groups and about 55 different languages, with French being the national language, meaning anyone who is able to afford an education, is taught French in school as part of the schooling system. Anyone involved in export, import, trade, learns French so that they can communicate with anyone else in the country. Because of the high diversity of languages, there's a need for a national language just to unify the commerce of the country. So French is the national language. The need continues to grow when you realize that it's the, according to the Joshua Project website, I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with that. It's a website, a Christian website that keeps track of statistics of populations all over the world. You can look up any country, and it will give you a long list of every people group, sub-dialect, language, the percentages of their population in that country, percentages of population worldwide, percentages on religious groups and different belief systems. And so according to the Joshua Project website, the two largest unreached people groups in Benin are the Dende and the Fulani, and they are still considered frontier peoples, which means they have little to no exposure to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So as you can see, there's still a very big need for more workers to continue to expand the gospel influence in the country of Benin.
The need continues to grow when you consider the religious factor. As I said earlier, birth rates are high. That's because Benin is the birthplace of voodoo. Voodoo, including Udon, animism, witchcraft, all of it, is also highly Muslim and a decent percent of Catholic. One of the ways our missionary team describes it is Benin is 50% Muslim, 50% Catholic, 100% voodoo. So it's very ingrained into the different religions. When Islam moved in, theoretically, they kicked voodoo out. That did not happen. They just integrated it into their religions, into a hybrid religion. The other Christian factor there, Christian, is a highly Pentecostal church that Mark mentioned this morning. It is called Church of the Celeste, which is the yellow line there, if you could do that.
Yeah, each of those lines on the rainbow is a different language. So the yellow line is actually English, Celestial Church of Christ. You think Pentecostalism, Charismatics here in the States are crazy. This is all of them wrapped up into one. Very dark, very honestly demonic in some cases. So it just continues to add to the darkness of the country. So as we... Okay, I'm losing our place. Okay, here we go. So as you can see, that these religions and just the very mixed hybrid of religions that are in Benin make taking the gospel to Benin that much more of a difficult and pressing need. So now we'd like to quickly introduce you to the team of missionaries that we'll be working with. This is the Ovenel family, Colin and Tina Ovenel. He is the director of the Bible school. That is his primary ministry, teaching courses in the Bible school to young men, and they do have a few classes for ladies coming from the few well-established Baptist churches in the country to be trained in pastoral ministry and basic Bible theology. So he is full-time teaching in that school, but he also has a background in architecture and has used that to help construct buildings for the many growing ministries throughout the country of Benin, such as churches, schools, clinics, those types of things. So he quite often uses that. Next is Joe and Amy Marshall. In fact, Joe's parents, Rich and Anna Marshall, were the main, I grew up calling them Uncle Rich and Anna, and they were the main missionaries in Timbuktu that I mentioned this morning. I grew up visiting them all the time with my family. So it's really cool I get to work side by side with a fellow missionary kid who also grew up in Mali, the same country I grew up in. Joe's background, so the Marshall family focuses on reaching the specific group of the Fulani people. They are a more nomadic group, don't stay in one place very long. And Joe's specialty is agriculture. He has a background in and training in agriculture and animal husbandry, so he uses that to build connections with the local people, teaching them how to take better care of their livestock and crops, cycle their crops properly to keep the ground fertile, and he uses that as a way to open doors to share the gospel with people. They also oversee a trade training school where he will train many of the same people who come to the Bible school. He will train them in welding and well drilling and things like that to help them have a means to go back to their villages or other surrounding villages to share the gospel with their own people. Steve and Katrina Boutrous are a medical doctor and nurse. They were responsible for helping start, build, and fully staff the medical clinic in the north of the country. And this medical clinic offers free medical care, and anyone in the waiting room is hearing the gospel the whole time they're in there. But this medical clinic is now 100% staffed and run by national believers. And so this is a huge, huge ministry, because most of the people in the north would either have to walk for a whole day to get to the nearest clinic, or they just wouldn't bother because of that, and they would just suffer through their illnesses. So Steve and Katrina are now on a bit of a hiatus from living with our team. Their next goal is to start a mobile medical ministry, but the government's giving them some red tape about bringing their supplies in and getting the proper licenses to operate in the country. So they are helping some friends out next door in Togo while they continue to pray and hope that God will open the doors for them to continue working with us in Benin. And finally are my own parents, Ken and Sarah Beckley. They are still part of the team. In fact, my father is now the team director. His full-time, aside from being team director, his full-time ministry, both in Mali and in Benin, has been Bible translation. He works hand-in-hand with Bibles International, who send out consultants once or twice a year to help him do workshops. He's also always trained at least two of the local pastors how to use laptop computers and the translation software he uses. And he, along with this team of people, has just recently completed the entire Bible in the local Dendi language. They're hoping to have the dedication ceremony for it this fall while we are there. And this will be the second full Bible translation that he's completed during his lifetime of ministry in Africa. On our table, you'll see a Songhai New Testament. Songhai was the language in Mali where I grew up. And so that's an example of the Songhai language that he and his team completed shortly after we left Mali. So huge accomplishment there, and that is one of his full-time jobs. But he also teaches some courses in the Bible school. His specialty is eschatology and end times. So he really enjoys teaching that and a couple of other courses, and he's always helping out where needed. So this missionary team is the missionary team that we are looking to join. And these families form a solid teamwork structure into which we want to add and grow our own skills to spread the gospel throughout Benin.
So what's next for us? As we mentioned here and there today, our next thing is a four-month trip from hopefully September 2nd, 4 p.m. tickets, to the end of the summer to really get our feet wet, build chemistry with the team, and see exactly how God is going to use us on the field. We have some ideas, but this will give us a chance to really experience life in Benin hands-on.
So what are going to be our ministry focuses, primarily for this four-month trip, but also a couple of more long-term ideas that we are hoping to get involved in? First and foremost, there is a huge church plant opportunity right in the center of the town where my parents live. They have helped start a new church plant that just recently became officially recognized by the local government. So they are now in the process of looking for a building. So far, they've been meeting in someone's home. So we are hoping to get involved with that church plant. I will have opportunities to teach and preach, probably with a translator at first, until my French becomes a little more fluent and comfortable to teach independently. We also hope to hold small group style Bible studies with the young people. Again, there's a lot of young people coming both for the Bible school and the local secular university who are no longer in their Christian environment from their home church and need a solid place to continue to grow in God's word. And we have a great passion for college age kids and young adults. We've been able to start young adult small groups in all three churches we've served in. And it's a huge passion of ours, so we're looking forward to starting that. In addition to these church plant opportunities, I guess I forgot to mention, Joanna will be helping my mom with the kids. They're still trying to organize some kids' ministries and Sunday schools so that the kids won't be distracting in the services. So Joanna's really looking forward to helping out with the kiddos. So in addition to these church plant opportunities, we will be spending intentional time during these 4 months with the missionary families, kind of shadowing them in their ministries, learning the team chemistry, and also looking at where are your ministries lacking in manpower? Are there ministries you see a need for, but you don't have the time or energy to get to? And are those things we feel God could use us to take over and get going off the ground? So just learning team chemistry and spending intentional time living with each of the missionaries and seeing exactly what their ministries involve. We will also hit the ground running with language training. As I've mentioned, I am fairly fluent in French, but I've lost some of my fluency over the years. So especially to get to a point where I'm comfortable teaching and preaching independently without a translator, I do need to perfect some of my vocabulary, especially biblical vocabulary, theological vocabulary. So, and then Joanna's just starting out. She's barely starting to learn some of the basics. We are using Duolingo on our phones and trying to do what we can at home to give her a bit of a head start. But there is already a Christian lady from one of the local churches there, African lady, who has already volunteered to tutor us once or twice a week during our 4 months to help us get going on our language study. And the reason we're doing language study on site is not only to help us get into the ministries, but also because the African French is very much watered down from French French. Back in the day, missionaries would spend like 2 years of language school in France learning real native French. But over time, the French in Africa has been very watered down and is really sort of a different language. So, and because of the experience we already have of adjusting to the culture, we have been advised to just take language study on site. We think it would be a little more effective. So in addition to that, Joanna's got some special opportunities.
So my main focus is kids. I would rather be down there playing with them than up here. so my main focus will be, like you said, the kids during services. I'm hoping to maybe be able to do a once a week club with kids in our local area, but also there's a deaf school in orphanage right around the corner from where Mark's parents stay. So in high school, even junior high, I've started picking up sign language. My mom had taken it in college and just kind of passed it down a little bit. And I just kind of latched onto it and fell in love with it. And it's like, I don't know how I'm going to use this. There's not really anybody around us. I'm going overseas. There's no point in learning American Sign Language other than I like it. We get over there, and this deaf orphanage and the other two that are connected to it were taught American Sign Language by American missionaries. So all these kids know American Sign Language. I'm like, oh, all right, Lord, you did have a plan. Go figure. So I'm very excited to get plugged in with these kids and be able to talk with them almost right away, unlike everyone else in French, which I'm struggling with. So this is a short video of when we were there in 23 of the deaf orphanage. So you'll see some kids are deaf and some kids are hearing. That is a financial thing on the school's part. They have to have some paying students. The deaf kids are tossed aside because of, like we said, the voodoo earlier. Anybody born with a disability is considered evil or bad omen, and they get cast aside. So these poor kids most likely don't know the love of their parents at all. So they're there living and obviously not paying for their schooling, so the schools need other ways to earn income to keep the doors open.
So here's a short video kind of showing what the school's like. Right now she's introducing us to the class in sign language. So again, I'm not sure if you could read the words on the screen, but the first clip was her introducing us in sign language to the kids. The second one, she asked all the deaf students in the class to stand so we could kind of see how many in each class, and it was about a third of the population in the school. And the last clip was one of the youngest classes. She asked one who would like to recite a Bible verse for the missionaries who were visiting. So that little kid stood up and recited a Bible verse, and he was reciting in French. I still have not been able to figure out what verse he's quoting, but it's kind of hard to understand his little voice, but he is speaking French because, again, even at that age, if they're going to school, all the school systems will be done in French, but he probably goes home and speaks Dendi with his family the rest of the week. So these kids become bilingual very quickly if they are put in the education system. But again, in the more remote areas, many of the families won't be able to afford to send their kids to school, and they may not know French. So that's just a taste of one of the very unique ministries that Joanna's excited to jump into pretty much right away. Like she said, she could already communicate with some of the deaf students before she even knows a lick of French. So that's going to be a huge advantage for her. So these are the ministries we are hoping to focus on and start looking at during our survey trip. What we're calling a survey trip during the 4 months at the end of this year. This trip is really going to answer some important questions for us. Where do we fit with the missionary team? How can our skills be used to aid in the ministries? And how is God leading us to start new ministries by filling the needs on the field with our skill sets? These are some of the questions we feel a short-term trip can help answer so as to better prepare us for the long haul. And speaking of the long haul, I also wanted to mention my unique opportunity, and this is going to be more long-term. I don't think I'll be able to do a whole lot on this during our 4 months, but in the Bible school, at the end of our two-week trip in 2023, we sat down with Colin Ovenell, who was the team director at that time, and asked him, could you see us joining your team and helping you guys out? He said, yes, we would absolutely love that. We need more people. And he asked us, could you see yourself joining us? Do you see opportunities here? We said, absolutely. And so I asked him specifically, is there anything specific that comes to mind that you could really use help in? And one of the first things he told me was, in the Bible school, whenever we have a graduating class, I quite often ask the graduating class, is there anything during your time here at the Bible school that you didn't learn that you wish we had a class on or would like to learn more of if you had the chance? And one of the most common answers he gets is something on biblical music philosophy. I can tell you right away, Africans are the last people you need to teach how to play music. They are some of the most musically gifted people I have ever met. But what these men are asking for is, how do we keep our music within biblical guidelines for corporate worship while also keeping our ethnic and cultural style in writing our music instead of just always copying American songs, which a lot of the church plants, when they first start, that's the quickest and easiest thing for the missionaries to do, to teach them musical worship, because we don't know how to write in their style, and they don't know what the Bible says about writing music in a godly way. And so that is a course that has been in high demand, and Colin Ovenell asked me, could you see yourself teaching that course at a Bible school? I said, give me enough time to figure out how, and I would love to. So that is a really big opportunity. Very unique one, and I've even had other people from our mission board and other connections tell me this is a very unique thing that they have not even seen in other mission fields. They said if the Lord uses you to pull this off, you could be setting a precedent for other mission fields for biblical music philosophy in a cross-cultural context. So huge opportunity that I'm starting to pray about even now. The closest I'll come to getting to look at that during our 4 months is I do hope to spend some time in the Bible school just sitting in on classes, learning how they operate, some of the things they are already learning about basic theology and scripture. Plus, it will be really good for my language skills and for helping immerse me in the French teaching. So I will be kind of sitting in on classes, but that's about the best I can do for our first four-month trip. But when we end up there long term, I will, even before then, I'm going to start researching on how to possibly start forming a biblical music philosophy class. So I am really excited about that opportunity.
Now the fun part, money. So praise the Lord, we are actually fully supported for this trip this fall. So one of the most important things that we are asking each church and you guys is to pray for us as we continue support raising and as we travel, that we have safety, and that God would bring the money in. As Mark likes to say, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, so the money will come in as he deems fit, but prayer is most coveted of all. So as I said, our 4 month trip is actually a bunch. But we are still raising monthly support so that when we come back, we don't have to pick our jobs back up. We can continue reaching out to the churches that are supporting us and reaching out to new churches to take us on. We are currently at 32% of what we need monthly. What we need monthly is $5,755. It seems like a lot for Africa, I know. But that covers not just our rent and food, it covers taxes. It covers wonderful things like
insurance.
I was getting there.
Okay.
Thank you. Insurance and other legal documents that we need over there, things like retirement over here when, you know, we get old eventually. So different things like that all weigh into what we need monthly. So we are, again, 32% of that. So we have about $3,920 left. This is kind of a pie chart that breaks down the different demographics and areas where the money goes.
I know it's probably really hard for you to read that on these screens. So if anyone is interested in seeing the details of this, please let me know. I'd be more than happy to share it. This is just a graphic to kind of show everything that is involved in the monthly support we're trying to raise and why it might seem a little high for a third world West African country. So that is that's kind of the basics of where we're at financially. Again, if you have questions, please let us know. We'd be happy to answer any questions. If you as individuals or as a church in any way are feeling led to get behind us and don't give to our ministry, we have a very quick, easy ways of doing that through our mission board, and we'd be happy to help you know how to do that. But again, most importantly, please continue to pray that God will provide the finances in his time and in his way. So as we wrap up, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6 says, Paul tells the believers, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. As you can see, many seeds of the gospel are being planted and sprouting in the country of Benin, but more workers are needed to help with the watering and nurturing of these growing ministries, with the ultimate goal of seeing God increase the churches of Benin to send out missionaries of their own to the darkest corners of the country and beyond. We are excited to see how God is moving in our lives and how he will use us to plant and water some of these seeds. We ask that you pray with us that his will be done in and through us in the coming months and years. Just to really synopsize our entire purpose and goal, our purpose and goal is to advance the gospel through church planting, ministry growth, and discipleship. God has greatly burdened our hearts to join the Faith Baptist missionary team in Benin and use the skills he has given us to reach the people of Benin with the gospel. Ultimately, we want to help the churches of Benin reach the people of Benin. So as we close, we just want to give you some quick prayer requests. As we said, prayer is the biggest thing we need right now. And so if you are willing to commit to praying with us and for us, please remember these things. First and foremost, a solid support team. That's why we're here. That's why we're traveling. Raising a solid support team of churches and individuals who are willing to get behind us and commit to helping us live full-time on the field in West Africa. Pray that the necessary finances come in. You saw the numbers. We still have a good bit to go on monthly support. We are very excited that our trip is taken care of and the next big step is ready to go. That is a huge praise. There were a lot of people when we were first coming up with the numbers a year ago, less than a year ago, we had lots of people saying, that's crazy, that's never going to happen. And we had it within 2 months. So praise the Lord. But we still need more on the monthly. Pray for the necessary legal materials. As Joanna mentioned, there's a lot that goes into living in another country full time. Setting up an international bank account, getting international driver's licenses, keeping our visas up to date, all kinds of things that even we don't know everything that's involved yet. We're still adding to our checklist of what needs done both before this 4-month trip and before we end up there long term. So there's a lot that needs to happen and in certain orders. So pray that all of that happens smoothly because working with overseas governments can sometimes get hairy. But we know God is ultimately in control. Pray for our own sensitivity to God's direction in our lives. We know we're young, we're still growing, we're still learning. I may have grown up there, but actually going in a ministry capacity is very different. And so pray that we will remain teachable and humble to God's direction, and that if he changes the path in any way, shape, or form as we go, that we will submit to that willingly. And last but certainly not least, be praying with us that the Beninese hearts will even now begin to open to the gospel. Pray for those who are already being ministered to in these various ministries, but I also sincerely believe that there are specific people God has in mind that will not begin to open up until the Lord has us there ready to use our skills, people that we can connect with in a unique way. And so I am already praying for those people that God will bring across our path that we can connect with and share the gospel with. So we would really appreciate your prayer on these things. Thank you again so much for having us. We've really enjoyed being here. Incredible, incredible time of worship with you all today. And we've really enjoyed getting to know you all a little better. And we hope to keep in touch with you over the coming months and possibly years. So that pretty much wraps up what we had to share with you this evening. I will give a quick promo. Again, we have a table out there with a lot of things from African culture that we'd love to show you. A digital photo frame with pictures from Africa going on it. But this is probably the most important thing on there. If you are willing to commit to pray for us, please take a prayer card. The left one should look different. The left one has a little more color to it. That's our prayer card, and it has personal information, contact information on the back for both our church and our mission board, as well as ourselves. But this card that's on the screen is what we call a connect card. Those three QR codes, if you know how to use QR codes with your phone, it's super easy. If you don't know how, I'll show you. But the top one, we have a Facebook page called Burdened for Benin, where we always copy and paste our monthly prayer letter updates on that page, and Facebook makes it easy to add a lot more pictures than we can fit in an email. So we always put a lot of pictures on there, and that's one place you can get our monthly updates, and sometimes we also give other little additional updates that we don't include in prayer letters on our Facebook page. The middle one, if you would like to sign up to get our monthly email prayer letter by email, that's super easy. You just scan that code. It takes you straight to a page where you type in your email address, hit submit, and you're on our list. That's a whole lot quicker than me having to remember to sit down and manually type in everyone's address, let alone try to read your handwriting. So that is quicker and most efficient, the preferred way. But I know not everyone is comfortable with modern technology. And so if you don't know what QR codes are and don't want to bother with that, we do have a normal sign-up sheet, pen and paper, and I will do my best to find time and sit down and enter your email to our list before our next prayer letter. So those are two options. And then the very bottom one there, if you are feeling led to give to our ministry, you can do this as an individual. The church can do this, the same method, but that takes you straight to our mission board's website, their give page. It gives clear instructions on the left of how to fill in the form. And the one detail you need to remember is to hit check the yes box for designation and then put our full names in there, Mark and Joanna Beckley. Because if you just put Beckley's, it might end up going to my parents. So so if you're if you need some more explanation and need someone to show you how to do that, we'd be happy to. But this is the quickest way to connect with us and keep up with us if you're interested in seeing what the Lord does with us in the future. So after with that, we will now open it up for any questions you may have about anything at all. Us personally, the ministry we're going into, the country, the culture, whatever you want to ask, there's no such thing as a stupid question. So go for it. Wow, lots of hands already. We'll start here in the front.
Okay. In Benin, since you said not all of the parents can afford to send the kids to school, about what percentage of kids don't go to school?
She asked what percentage of kids don't or can't go to school there. That's a very good question. I have not actually figured out that statistic, but we will write that down and try to look that up. You're more of a numbers brain person anyways, so.
Calculating.
I would say a good 30-50% when it comes to considering the Fulani and more nomadic groups probably aren't doing any form of school. In the more local towns, it's a lot easier for them to get their kids to school and have jobs enough to at least get them through some grading grades. But
So that is a bit of a shot in the dark guess, but I'm writing down that question because we've never had that question before, and that's a very good question that I probably should know. So I'm going to look that up and probably send the answer via email to pastors so you can know that. So, and just so we have it for anyone else who asks it in the future. So thank you. There are two more in the back here. Yes. Yeah, so persecution, what is the persecution level like in Benin? So because that is a very commonly question that we just don't have time to address in our main presentation, I do have this slide for you. This shows a fairly accurate representation of the current state of Benin. The majority of the country is a heightened vigilance. That circled, that yellow circle is where the main, the general region where we are based. And this is the state of the country. So our team used to live on the very northern border of the country, right up there in that little peak. But several years ago, the Ovenels were the only one live on the property at the time because the rest of us were in the States. And they got woken up in the middle of the night by the government police saying, grab what you can carry. We're evacuating you down to the capital tonight. We intercepted extremist communication, and you're on their hit list. And so they were evacuated. The government facilitated that. The civil government has been very sympathetic to the missionary presence. They have seen the good things that the missionaries bring to the country. They have also seen the bad things that have resulted from Islam extremism in the countries around it and are doing their best to keep that out. But they can only do so much. It's not a very high-tech, well-trained military. And so, and they're just surrounded and overrun sometimes by sheer numbers. So the North is no longer safe for Western American missionaries. We do still keep in touch with some of the main churches and pastors up there. The situation for the local Christians and believers is very dangerous. Just a couple weeks ago, there was a whole village where the extremists came over the border, attacked the village, specifically targeted a Christian school, and held hostage all of the kids and a couple of the teachers, locked them up in a building for, I think, 3 days straight. And then they proceeded to use some of those people as human shields to attack a nearby military base. And so that's what the local Christians are going through in the north of the country. And that's why we missionaries cannot be there, because if we were there, we would be an even higher target. Be praying for the local believers more than for us in this situation. They need it just as much, if not more, than us. We feel safe. We have connections in the local government that keeps us appraised of the current risk levels and situations. And we have contacts in the danger zones in our churches that keep us appraised of how the believers are doing and all of that. So.
Those kids have been released since then.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes. They were released after that incident. Apart from those who were used as shields, there was no major harm done to the rest of the population of that village. So
there has been a lot of displacement, though, of the church.
Yeah. A lot of the churches up there have felt a need to evacuate, and really a lot of the civil government, local police have told them, you need to get out. So they have moved south and started living with other church families in other towns. So this is a huge opportunity for spreading the gospel. Almost every time you see this happen in any country throughout history, God uses it as a catalyst for spreading the gospel. And we've seen that that's what happened in Mali and why my parents couldn't return to Mali. But it was God's way of showing us the local churches are ready to take over the missions work. You've completed a missionary's ultimate goal, and that's to train the churches to be ready to send out missionaries of their own. And so really a majority of the churches in Mali now are completely independent and carrying on their own missions programs apart from missionary aid. So God uses these hardships to really close those doors and show when certain areas are ready to be independent of missionary aid. So continue praying. We, as missionaries, feel safe. The local Christians are at a higher risk. The civil government is very sympathetic to us. The biggest danger is really on a familial level, the extremely high price someone will pay if they convert to Christianity. They are, because the Muslim faith and this hybrid religion that is in Benin is so much a part of their culture and their very identity that if they were to convert to Christianity, they would be paying a very high price. And so that's where the real battle happens, is on a personal level in making that decision. Also, an important note, today was the election for the country of Benin. And election time is always very risky, very hairy for any West African country, because corruption is very rife there. And so be praying for them. By now, the election day is over. Right now, it is 1 o'clock in the morning there of the next day. But the aftermath of elections can carry on for weeks sometimes. So I am planning to text our missionary team and ask if they've heard any updates on the election results today. But that was today. So please be praying for that, because that can sometimes antagonize the situation. There's one other question back here. Yes. Oh, boy.
What is the closest major city that is near where you're at? And the other one was how well does the local municipalities and government, are they towards you? You kind of answered that a little bit, but are they in support? And do they utilize the clinic and things?
Mm-hmm. In general, yes, they are glad that we're there, because again, because of the agriculture, the medical clinic, the different things we are helping the country with, they're glad we're there. But at the same time, they can kind of turn on a dime, and like I mentioned, the medical couple, they're getting a lot of red tape from the government about getting a license and being able to practice in the country. So it's not really hostility, it's just kind of trying to say, you're no better than us. Really, the excuse they're giving him is, well, we need proof that you're qualified enough to work in our medical system. And he graduated from, like, one of the top medical schools here in the United States. And they're saying, oh, but we're not sure that's good enough to work here in Benin. And so really just silly things like that, not that we're trying to look down our nose at them or anything, but they're just trying to come up with ways to slow us down. And it just depends on who you're working with, but no real major hostility. What was the first part to your question? Oh, yes. I do have to ask, are we live streaming this? No? Okay. Then I can say. The main town, you've probably seen a couple times, the main town there that my parents live in and the property that the rest of the team lives on is just outside of town. It's called Paraku. That's the American pronunciation. You guys would probably call it a large town. Over there, it might be considered a city. It's fairly well populated, pretty large, has a good variety of restaurants and shopping locations, which is unusual in the majority of the country. So we are right in a decent sized town, but as far as our bank account and really like important overseas legal issues, we do have to go down to the capital, which is down on the coast, and it's called Cotonou. And so that's only about 6 to 7 hour drive, depending on traffic. From Paraku. So, and the condition of your car, the condition of the roads, there's a lot of variables. Like traffic is a whole nother issue over there. But so it is fairly close, and the missionary men do travel down there at least once a month to get their next financial exchange and things from the capital when they need it. So yeah, not that far. So, again, you can easily reach any part of the country within a half a day's drive. All right, I know we're past 7. Right now it's up to you guys. Are there any other questions? We love taking questions if you have them. Again, we'll be at our table. If you have anything else comes up, we will be happy to answer. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you all. We've greatly enjoyed it, and we look forward to seeing what the Lord does.
All right. If you plan to pray for them, give them a round of applause.
Them head on back to their table, and we are going to feed them. They do have to get back to Wellington tonight, so don't tarry too long. If you plan to go to their table, do it rather quickly. All right? Just one and last. First and last.
All right. Let's stand. We'll sing the first and last of Jesus Saves, 438.
Thank you.
never